Hello and happy Friday to you. This is Grace in Focus, and I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. As you probably know, we're taking questions from listeners just like you. We got a great question in through our email, which is radio@faithalone.org, by the way, in case you've got your own questions. Here's today's: is faith like a response or an encounter? And also, as a bonus, we're going to throw this one in. Why does Revelation 21:8 list cowardly before unbelieving? Do you have to be brave to be a Christian? Well, those are great questions, and I bet Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar have got some interesting answers. Let's go right to today's discussion. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're taking your questions. A lot of our questions come from our blog that we put out every day, Monday through Friday, which you're welcome to read online for free at faithalone.org, or you can get it sent to your email. You can sign up for it there. I recently wrote a blog about two aspects. I forget what I called it exactly, two aspects of the cross or two aspects of the atonement. And I quoted Lewis Berry Chafer, showing that unlike a lot of theologians who assume the benefits of the cross come as a package, he was actually showing that, yeah, the world can get some benefits, and then believers can get other benefits, and only believers get those benefits.
And maybe we should say a word about Lewis Berry Chafer. He was the founder of Dallas Seminary in 1924, which I believe was called Dallas Evangelical College at the beginning. And he was actually a music leader, a worship leader, and he became a theologian, basically taught himself theology, and ultimately wrote an 8-volume systematic theology that we all studied at Dallas Seminary, and which is still widely used today. They now have a 4-volume abridged version. But in any regard, he was a very godly man, passed away the year that I was born, 1952.
Oh.
So he was the president of Dallas Seminary from 24 to 52.
Okay.
And a very solid, in most ways, free grace person.
Right. One of the first guys who really kind of brought a lot of those issues and made them clear. Not that he got everything clear right from the get-go. I quoted from his book Salvation, which is, I think it's a good book.
Sure.
You know, from what I've read. But part of the quote said this: Chafer says, "Salvation is made to depend upon a personal response to this appeal from God." And Michael wrote to say, "One's salvation is not dependent upon a personal response to God that necessarily includes pleading for reconciliation and having an attitude of reconciliation that comes from knowledge of the cross. It only depends upon believing in Jesus for the life he promises. Pleading by and the attitude of the person are not conditions for being saved."
That's not a question, but I agree.
I guess it's more of a statement.
I agree with Michael.
But yeah, I
don't remember reading that in Chafer.
Yeah, so, and we talked about this a little bit because there's some other theologians that kind of in the wider free grace camp that kind of describe faith as a personal response. And,
right.
Do you think that could lead to some confusion?
I do. For example, in postmodernism, often faith, evangelical postmoderns will say faith is a personal encounter.
Yeah.
They use the term encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Some even non-postmodern evangelicals will use that expression, personal encounter. Personal response is pretty close to personal encounter. And the problem with calling faith a personal response is it sounds like this is something we do rather than something which simply happens to us. In other words, it seems to me when we believe, we become convinced.
Yeah.
We don't convince ourselves. Now, there are things we can do to come to the point of faith. We can pray. We can seek God. We can, Acts 17:27, grope after God if perchance we might find him.
Yeah.
God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, Hebrews 11:6.
Right.
So there are things we can do to put ourselves in a position of coming to faith.
Yeah.
But at the moment of faith, it's not really a response. At the moment of faith, it's just a conviction. We become convinced.
Right. I wonder, I was having a discussion with a professor of church history last night, actually, and his specialty is evangelicalism. And we're talking about what made evangelicalism different as a movement. And one of the things that made it different as a movement, he said, was the emphasis on conversionism, the emphasis that you needed to be born again. That it was not enough to belong to this a Christian country or the state church. You needed to be born again. And I wonder if maybe that's the perspective Chafer is coming from. Maybe when he says you need a personal response, this is kind of Christianese for saying it's not enough that you were baptized as a baby. It's right. not enough that your grandparents were Christian. You need to believe.
Right. And I have no problem with that. I just wouldn't call belief a personal response.
Right. Well, I mean, I can see how it could be, you know, because it's your, right. it's you, it's personal.
And you are responding.
And you are responding to right. the saving message. You know, maybe that's an okay way of describing, it's believing. It's believing that matters.
But see, I would call the personal response seeking, praying, groping after God, etc. But the faith itself is not a choice. It's right. not really a response. And so, you know, it seems to me this language yeah. is confusing. Regardless of why Chafer was using it, it seems to me we shouldn't go there.
Right.
You know, it opens kind of Pandora's box, because ultimately then we have people who are trying to have some sort of correct response, and they're wondering, what's the correct response?
Well, see, I think what you pointed to was the real problem, that there's no way Chafer was postmodern, because this, right. this is decades before postmodernism. But that language is still kind of hanging in the air, and that language takes on a new meaning in the modern era, especially in the 21st century, with all these kinds of experiential kind of religions and mysticism and postmodernism and all that stuff. And it really does probably mean something completely different today than what Chafer was thinking.
Right.
And it's not helpful to say that salvation depends on a personal response instead of saying just believe in Jesus, because who knows what kind of ideas people will have in their mind. People are already confused about believing what belief is, let alone adding this personal response language to it.
Yeah, and if you stop and think about it, where do we find in the New Testament that he who has a personal response to Jesus has everlasting life? We don't find that. He who right. believes in me has everlasting life. He who believes in him has everlasting life. You know, he who believes on his name becomes a child of God and is born of God. We don't have anything about a personal response, and it seems to me it just opens up a level of confusion that we don't need. Now, I'm not sure what Chafer was doing with that, but I wouldn't pick up on that. So I'd agree with Michael.
Right. I would agree with Michael, too. Okay. This is a question from Brad. And Brad says, hi, guys. Can you explain why Revelation 21:8 lists fearful or cowardly first, even before unbelieving? Revelation 21. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I actually heard a pastor preach on this passage a few months ago. And at one point in his sermon, we all read from a PowerPoint that was the church's common belief about salvation. And it was very clear, you know, believe in Jesus and you're justified. You believe in Jesus, you have eternal life. But then he happened to be preaching on this passage in church, and he said, see, it's not enough to believe. You have to be brave in order to be saved. He literally said that. He says, wow. It says right here, if you're cowardly, you can't be saved.
Yeah, well, let me mention and just take a quick look. If you look at starting in verse 6 talks about whoever takes the water of life freely. In my opinion, that is the born-again person who gets into the kingdom, but not necessarily is an overcomer. Then in verse 7, you have an advance. That's the believer who's also an overcomer. And that person is going to inherit all things. And he's going to be God's son in the sense that he, too, will rule with Christ. He's going to be a co-ruler with Christ. And then verse 8 talks about the unbelievers. And so you've got three groups. The believers who simply get into the kingdom, the believers who are going to inherit and rule with Christ, and then the unbelievers. Now, why does it mention cowardly before unbelieving? I don't know. You know, it mentions a whole series of things here, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters. and all there have their part in the lake of fire. It seems to me that the point is that these people are unregenerate and they're slaves of sin. In other words, remember Jesus said, John 8:24, if you do not believe I am he, you will die in your sins.
Yeah.
I think that's a statement of the fact that you will go to the grave as a slave of sin. And you see that in John 8:33 and following, where Jesus says, you're slaves of sin. And the Jewish people were saying, well, we've never been enslaved by anyone. And he says, well, you're slaves of sin. Mm. And so the point here is they are slaves of sin, and it's manifested in their behavior. Now, the unbelieving part, clearly these people are unbelievers, but this probably also refers to the fact that they're not believing the things God says in their daily experience either.
Mm-hmm.
It's a question of, does the unbelieving meaning they're not believing in Jesus for everlasting life, or they're not believing day by day? Since their part is in the lake of fire, we know according to Revelation 20 and verse 15, this means their name is not in the book of life.
Yeah.
And getting your name in the book of life is simply by faith in Christ. You also find the same basic thing at the end of Revelation chapter 21. I think it's 21, is it 28? And then you also find the same thing in Revelation 22 around verses 12 through 17 with the three groups of people.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for that, Bob. And would you say, I mean, we just have a few seconds left. Do you think that if a Christian is cowardly, I always thought of it as, why would this be important for a Christian to do? It's not because you don't believe, but being brave and courageous, I think, is an eternal rewards issue.
It is. And it seems to me the overcomer needs to be a person who's brave. So coming back to your question about the pastor who said that, it's not you have to be brave to be born again. Look at verse 6, it's just receiving the water of life. But you have to be brave to be an overcomer,
right?
Because there's so much persecution.
Yes.
Bravery is necessary if you want to overcome in the Christian life.
Well, thank you for those thoughts, Bob, and thank you for the questions. Brad, keep on sending them to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback, and if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. Well, here we are at another weekend. Hope you have a great one, and we look forward to being back with you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.